I saw a great multitude of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and in sight of the Lamb. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, I wish you all happy feast of all saints. And in today's epistle, Saint John tells in his Apocalypse how he saw a vast number of people from all nations and tongues arriving to their true heavenly home, being welcomed by Christ the King. The beautiful word home is really what Saint John is talking today. After being exiled in this earth, all the nations of saints have now arrived to their true home, ruled by Christ the King. On this feast, we celebrate all our dear Catholic forefathers, who, after being exiled on this earth, have now reached their heavenly home. There was never a canonized saint who came from my home country, but I wanted to share with you one of the most remarkable stories from my home. In the 19th century, there lived in Finland a man named Zachary Topelius, who wrote lots of beautiful stories. His most known singular story is named A Birch and a Star, which tells about a brother and sister whom the Russians rob from their home and deliver to slavery. They are treated well, but they still miss home a lot. And since they were so young when they were robbed, the only thing which they remembered from home was that there was a large birch tree growing there, and that you could see a big bright star twinkling between its branches at night. And after returning to their home country, by this star and birch tree, they finally found their home. This story, beautiful as it is, was actually inspired by a true history in the author's own family. Early 1700s, the Russians had burned down the Topelius family house and robbed his great-grandfather, named Christopher, who was then about 8 or 9 years old. The Russians sold Christopher as a slave to a high nobility family in St. Petersburg. The boy was treated very well by the Russian family, but still he missed his home country terribly. One day when he was grown up, he escaped back to Finland, and he was always walking to the west, where the sun set, and lived with berries and roots he picked from the woods. Finally, Christopher reached his home country, but because it was still occupied by the enemy, he took a boat to escape to Stockholm, Sweden. As soon as Christopher stepped out of the boat at Stockholm Harbor, he saw some women doing the laundry at the pier. One of them made an intense look at him and then asked him in Finnish where was he from. When he answered the name of his hometown, she threw her arms around him and told he was her son. Mother's name, by the way, was Maria. She herself had fled the Russians and settled up in Sweden, and by miraculous coincidence, long-lost son and mother happened to meet again in Stockholm and eventually returned to their home country together. Dear faithful, dear children, all of us have been once robbed and sold into the slavery. That is the slavery of sin. Therefore, the Feast of All Saints truly shows how devil has lost the battle. His greatest contribution, destroying the human race through sin, has been a failure, and saints are a living proof of this. The heroism of the saints inspires in us contempt for perishable things, as well as false honors of this world. As weak children who are trapped in the chains of sin, we also have been rescued from the slavery of the devil and the pits of hell. We have been given salvation by the grace of God and are on our way to home, not there yet, but at least loosened from our chains of slavery, like Christopher following the sun. When we give honor to the saints, in them and through them, we give honor to God and Christ the King, true ruler, redeemer, and savior of human race. The saints were once what we now are, travelers on earth. The saints too had some or same weaknesses which we have, because at that point they too were still far away from home. We have difficulties to encounter, so had all the saints, and many of them much greater difficulties than we have. The saints were men and women in all respects like ourselves, so we have no excuse of ever losing sight and desire of our true home. Of course, the road to sanctity, that is, to save our souls, has never been easy, not in any time, place, or country. And many people see that being a Christian is too burdensome, not worth of an effort. But are not the burdens of the secular world just as heavy to carry? In our story today, young Christopher was willing to risk his life by becoming an escaped slave, just to see his home country again. He rather lived by roots and berries growing in the woods of his home than ate the white bread of a stranger in slavery. In this world, what temporal advantage can ever be gained without pains? People are ready to sell their liberty, their morals, truly their souls, just to gain money, power, and pleasure. So who could ever think that getting into one's heavenly home would cost him nothing? Especially since for God's saints of the past generations, it cost so much. Although greatest happiness, dear faithful and dear children, awaits us in heaven, even on this earth, the Church of Christ the King gives us a foretaste of our home. On this earthly life of ours, we see our home gleaming and shining in the horizon as the setting sun. And even the most breathtaking creations made by man pale in comparison to a mortal man whose soul has been washed through sanctifying grace. And there is no greater miracle, not even this miraculous re-encounter of a mother and son, than is a Christian who has just heard the words, "Go in peace, your sins have been forgiven." Heaven is a hard thing to achieve, but it is a lot easier to achieve than happiness in this world. The Church of Christ the King, the road to our home, waits for us. And yet people loiter further and further of it. The saints earnestly long for our homecoming, yet the world despises them. So at least we, who try our best to be worthy followers of our King, although many times failing, must answer to the call of the saints. They are our true heavenly family, united with our true heavenly Father. It is said that when the famous Irish national hero Daniel O'Connell died in Rome, he had requested his heart to be buried in the chapel of Irish College and his body to be taken back to Dublin, and this was done. So, as one bishop put it, this way, Daniel O'Connell left his body to Ireland, his heart to Rome, and his soul to God. Road to home might be hard and rocky, but if any soul should be without God, this soul would be forever homeless. This soul would be deprived of his true family, the congregation of the saints. Let us hasten to those who are waiting for us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.